This week is Parshas Tzav, which is a parsha that talks a lot about the korbanos, different types of korbanos. We have the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, which is to separate a piece of ash each day from the mizbeach and put it next to the mizbeach. It talks about the inauguration of the talmidim, of the kohanim. There's also the mitzvah at the beginning of the parsha, which is to have a constant fire on the mizbeach. Eish tomi tukad ala mizbeach. I'll just show it to you a quick word, because we're going to go to Purim after this. We know that during the Beis HaMikdash, during the Mishkan, and particularly during the first Beis HaMikdash, we learn that eish yoyreid min hashomayim, that the truth is that the fire would come down from heaven, right, and go on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, we have a mitzvah each day that the kohanim would have to put two logs of wood on the mizbeach, because the Chazal tell us that even though eish yoreid min hashamayim, even though the fire comes down from heaven, mitzvah lahavi min ahediyot, it's a mitzvah for us to bring fire, which is analogous of the way we serve Hashem generally. Even though when Hashem gives us inspiration, Hashem gives us lots of things milamayla from above, it's a mitzvah for us to do our own thing and to bring our own fire and to work hard and to have sort of our own contribution. Okay. So that's just a little word in the parasha. But the truth is that today I'm going to focus much more on Purim. And I'm going to share with you an idea, a beautiful idea from Purim, coming based on the sefer called Shvilei Pinchas, which I've quoted from in the past, who puts together an amazing thought, an amazing idea on Purim. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share the screen, first of all. Give me 1 second here. Here it is. Okay. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that tomorrow night is Purim, of course. Mitzvah to hear the Megillah. We'll be hearing the Megillah here at 7:35 is Maariv, followed by the Megillah. We have a second reading at 9:30 in the morning. We have a Megillah Shacharis at 6:25. Megillah will be about 6:45 to 7:15. Another one at 8:30. And then one in the afternoon at 4:30, which will take place. All the other ones will take place at Bina. This one will take place Rabbi Chaitin will read it at Mizrahi Shul. Also, for the women, we have the Thursday morning tea on 9:20 with a bit of a shir. Just want to remind everyone that all the mitzvahs of Purim you can't do on Zoom. You actually have to show up. So we hope to see you. All right. So we know that the hero of Purim, one of the heroes of the Purim story, of course, is Mordechai. So let's have a look at the way the Megillah introduces Mordechai. It's number one on the handout. Well, the Megillah tells us, Ish Yehudi, Hoyo B'Shushan Habira. There was a Jewish person, Yehudi, was in Shushan Habira. Ushamoi Mordechai, and his name was Mordechai, Ben Yoir, the son of Yoir, Ben Shimi, the son of Shimi, Ben Kish, the son of Kish, Ish Yemini, he was a man from the tribe of Binyamin. Now, just incidentally, when we say Mordechai, the son of Yor, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish, there were other ancestors in between. It's mentioning some of his lineage, some of his ancestry, not everything. Going back to the beginning of the Pasuk, however, we always translate the word Ish Yehudi as a Jewish person, because that's what we call Jews today. We say Yehudi. There's a reason for that, as we might explore a bit later on. But actually, that's not what the word Ish Yehudi means. Even though in the Megillah, the Jewish nation are referred to as Yehudim, which is where we get this idea of calling Jewish people Yehudim, but the word Yehudi actually means someone who comes from the tribe of Yehuda. Right? Just like Ish Yemini refers someone coming from the tribe of Binyamin. Okay. That's a strange thing. So obviously, the obvious question is, did Mordechai come from Yehuda? Did Mordechai come from Binyamin? Which one is it, right? Now, the problem, of course, is that when you start off the pasuk by saying that Mordechai came, he was an Ish Yehudi, it seems to suggest that he was a person from the tribe of Yehuda, and in fact, he wasn't. Mordechai was a person that belonged to the tribe of Binyamin. He was from Binyamin. So the Gemara asks this question, and have a look at number 2 here. Says the Gemara, Karile Yehudi, he's called a Yehudi, Alma Yehuda Ka'asi, which means it comes from the tribe of Yehuda. This is the Gemara in Megillah, Yud Beis Amud Beis. Then says the Gemara of a Karile Yemini, and he's called a Yemini, Alma Binyamin Ka'asi, means it comes from Binyamin. Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman asks, Mordechai Muchter Bini Musa Hoya. Says the Gemara, Mordechai was crowned with lineage. But we'll see what that will. I want to sort of concentrate on the second answer. Amar Rabbe Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Aviv mi Binyamin v'imoy b'Yehuda. Says the Gemara, his father was from Binyamin, which made him actually a person from the tribe of Binyamin, but his mother was from Yehuda. That's why the Pasuk says it both, right? And the Gemara continues there that this was a constant debate between the tribe of Yehud and the tribe of Binyamin. Each one claimed the yichus of having Mordechai part of them. And that's why we have in the Pasuk both Yehuda and Binyamin. However, the Mefarshim all asked the following question. That's very nice, but we know like this. When you want to talk about every time in Tanakh, when you want to talk about someone's tribe, tribe goes according to the father. That's how it works. Jewishness goes through the mother. Tribal identity goes through the father, right? Kohanim are Kohanim because on the father's side they're a Kohen. David HaMelech became David HaMelech because on his father's side he was from Yehuda, right? So tribal identity goes according to the father, not the mother. You're still a descendant of that tribe, but that's not your tribe. So even if the Pasuk would want to mention the fact, for whatever reason which we don't know yet, would want to mention the fact that Mordechai was both a descendant of Yehuda and Binyamin, or he came from the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin, it still doesn't explain why they would mention Yehuda first. Why it says Ish Yehudi before Ish Yemini, it would make sense, if anything, to say Ish Yemini first and then Yehudi later, because you first mentioned what tribe he belongs to, which is the tribe of Binyamin. Okay. So we're going to go on a bit of a journey here. So let's try and figure this out. So first of all, let's learn a special pasuk in Tehillim. This is a pasuk which talks about a prayer that David HaMelech said to Hashem. David HaMelech said the following. He said, Zochreini, this is number 3. Zochreini Hashem birtsoin amecha. Hashem said, David HaMelech said, remember me, Hashem, when you favor your people, birtsoin amecha, when you want your people. Pokadeni, take note of me, bishu'asecha, when you deliver them, when you save them. So when you save the Jewish people, remember me, says David HaMelech, who came, of course, from the tribe of Yehuda. So the Chidah brings, the great Chidah, brings a medrash. And the medrash says the following. Let's have a look over here. Now, I copied this medrash two different ways because sometimes medrashim have different versions. So the version that my Bar Ilan program had, which I could copy and paste from, only had part of the medrash, and I had to look on my other computer program to find the other version, which has what I want to share with you. So, and there's different versions. And we'll learn both versions. So, says the medrash, Zachreini Hashem b'rtzoyin amecha. What does it mean when David HaMelech said, please remember me, Hashem, b'rtzoyin amecha, when you favor your people? Says the medrash, Omar David said, Riboy Nishaloyla, master of the universe. Keshetase Yeshuais al yidei Mordechai v'Esther, when you bring about salvations through Mordechai and Esther, Zachreini, remember me. Remember me. A different way to say it, let's have a look at the next part, the next version of the medrash, which is a little bit less reader-friendly, but let's have a look at it anyways. It says the Medrash, Zachreini Hashem b'ritzoin amecha, Omar David. David said the following, Riboin ho'ilomi, master of the universe, Keshetase Yeshua al yedei Mordechai, when you save the Jewish people through Mordechai, Zachreini, remember me. Omar le'a kodesh baruch hu, Hashem said to him, Chayecha, I promise you, l'cho ani matkir kadmoi, not only am I going to remember you, but I'm going to mention you first. First. Why? Because it says, Ish Yehudi. It says, Ish Yehudi. Shehoye b'shevet Yehuda. There was a man Yehudi that came from Yehuda, David HaMelech. And only v'achakach ushmoy Mordechai. And only afterwards the pasuk is going to say the name is Mordechai. So we say that this thing that it says in Yehudi first in the pasuk is specific. This all came about because Dovid HaMelech asked to be mentioned. Dovid HaMelech said, I'd like to be mentioned in this miracle of Mordechai and Esther. And Hashem said, absolutely, not only am I going to mention, I'm going to mention you first. I'm going to make reference to you first. When I introduce Mordechai, we're going to say, Ish Yehudi. First and foremost, a person comes from the tribe Yehuda, the same tribe that Dovid HaMelech came from. And only then we're going to say, Ushmoy Mordechai. Now, that's nice. And that explains that even though Mordechai only on his mother's side was from Yehuda, but because David HaMelech had specially asked to be mentioned, that's why Hashem put it first in the Megillah. Right? That's why Beruach HaKodesh, that's why the Megillah was written, to mention David HaMelech first. But we have to understand, why? Why was it so important for David HaMelech to be mentioned? Why is it so important for David HaMelech to be hinted to in the Megillah, not only to be hinted to, but to be hinted to first? That's the question. I hope everyone understands the question. Difficult to know when I can't see who I'm talking to. But that's the question. The question is that he is in the Megillah Ish Yehudi because that's a reference to David HaMelech, King David. And the question is, and why is that? Because David HaMelech specifically asked to be mentioned. And obviously the question is, why? So let's go on a journey. First, I have to understand a different part of Mordechai's family. And that is Shaul HaMelech. So we're going to just give a bit of context here. When the Jewish people first asked for a king, they got Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech was a king over the Jewish people, first king, first formal king. He actually came from Binyamin. Mordechai, who came from Shimi, as it says in the pasuk, was from the family of Shaul HaMelech. So that's one thing, right? So not only was Mordechai from the tribe of Benjamin, he was also from the family of Shaul HaMelech. So Shaul HaMelech also has something to do with the story of Purim, obviously, as we'll see in a second. And then we say there was, after Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech had friction between them, as we know. And then what happened was, eventually Hashem had taken away the kingdom from Shaul HaMelech, given it to David HaMelech, which was the ultimate destiny, that the dynasty of the sovereignty of the Jewish people should come from David HaMelech. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, as we say, until Mashiach comes, who will actually come from David HaMelech. Okay. What's the story with Shaul HaMelech? Shaul HaMelech, as we know, has a very big connection to Purim. How so? So like this. This part of the vort, this part of the idea, comes from Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner, a very, very famous Hasidic Rebbe. When the Chidushe Harim, the first Gerer Rebbe, had come to visit Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner, and Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner started to say a Dvar Torah, and he said the following thing. He said like this, we know that Shaul HaMelech, when he became king, he was given the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek. Now the whole mitzvah of wiping out Amalek is a separate discussion, needs to be understood, but let's just be open here exactly what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is that he had to go and take the nation of Amalek, who had attacked the Jewish people when they came out of Mitzrayim, which we read about as Parsha Shabbos, Parsha Zohar, and he had to destroy them completely. Okay. King Shaul goes, and he's supposed to wipe out the whole Amalek. And he does. Almost. He was told, who gave him this command? Shmuel HaNovi, the prophet Samuel, says the word from Hashem. Now the Jewish people have a king. Now we have to go to the next mitzvah after appointing the king, the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek. So Shaul does. Afterwards, Shmuel HaNovi comes at him. And Shaul HaMelech runs to Shmuel and he says, Hakimoisi es Dvar Hashem. I fulfilled the word of Hashem. That's what he says. That's what Shaul HaMelech says. I fulfilled the word of Hashem. It's not on the handout, but I fulfilled the word of Hashem. Shmuel says, you didn't. First of all, you didn't kill all the flock. Even the animals of Amalek were supposed to be killed, and you didn't. Second of all, you kept alive the king of Amalek. At the last minute, Shaul HaMelech had rachmanis on the king of Amalek, whose name was Agog. He kept him alive. Subsequently, he was killed by Shmuel HaNavi. However, the Gemara tells us what happened was, Shaul HaMelech kept alive Agog, the king of Amalek, that very night before Shmuel HaNavi came back to Shaul. to complain why he hadn't done the will of Hashem. That night, Agag lived with a woman. She became pregnant, and out of her came Haman. That's why in the Megillah, Haman is called a Haman or Agagi, right? Haman was a son of Hamdasa who came from Agag. So Shmuel Alevi says, you didn't do what Hashem said to you. Therefore, Venosata L'Re'acha, I don't know the pasuk copied here. Shmuel said to Shaul, Kara Hashem es Mamlechos Yisrael me'olecha. God has torn away the kingdom from you. Venosata L'Re'acha Hatoiv Mimechon, is going to give it to your colleague who's better than you. Better than you. Now, why on earth? So there's many questions here. First of all, Shaul HaNavi was a big tzaddik. We know. Shaul HaMelech was a big tzaddik. That's what he said. Says he didn't even taste the taste of an Avera. He was a very, very big tzaddik. And he didn't have anything wrong with him. In fact, Chazal tell us that he was so pure. Shaul HaMelech was so pure that exactly was his problem. Because it's an interesting thing. The Gemara tells us that actually when you appoint a leader over a generation, a leader actually has to have baggage. When a leader has baggage, it's much better because he understands the people. David HaMelech had baggage. David HaMelech was the black sheep of the family. David HaMelech came from Rus. It was a whole question, and we'll talk about later, if he was allowed to marry into the Jewish people altogether, because Rus was a Moabite. The Moabites are not supposed to be accepted in the mainstream Jewish community. At the end, it was Paskin that he can, but David HaMelech had plenty of baggage. But Shaul HaMelech had no baggage. It was pure. Didn't do any Aveira. The question is, why did he do such a thing? Hashem said, wipe out Amalek. And he didn't. He kept alive the sheep and he kept alive the king. Question one. Question two, what does it mean he comes and he says, Akimoisi is Tvar Hashem, I fulfilled the word of Hashem. You know you didn't. And thirdly, when Shmuel HaNavi told him that Hashem was very upset with him, so we know that Shaul HaMelech was very upset, as it says in the Tanakh. And he gives him a real what for, and he says, Hashem is going to, you're not going to be the king. And Hashem said, he's upset that he appointed you a king and the whole thing, right? And then Shmuel HaNavi rubs his wounds, he puts salt on the wounds. What does he do? He says, you know what? And your kingdom is going to go to your colleague who's better than you. Which colleague are we talking about? David HaMelech. David HaMelech was a rival of Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech, his whole life was running after David HaMelech to try and kill him because he held that he wasn't a good person. Even though he was mistaken, but there was a tremendous friction between Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech. So what does Shmuel says? Your kingdom is going to go to someone else. You know who? Your colleague who's better than you, David HaMelech. Why would Shmuel do such a thing? Why pain him more than necessary? The answer is, said the Ruzhina, that Shaul HaMelech did this. In fact, we owe a big shkoyach to Shaul HaMelech. Because Shaul HaMelech did this, so there should be a Yontif of Purim. There should be a Yontif of Purim. By keeping Agag alive, Haman descended from Agag. Haman was the one who went to Ahasuerus to threaten the entire Jewish nation. And through him came the downfall of Haman, ultimately through Mordechai and Esther. And the Mordechai and Esther, Purim came about. And because of Purim came about, we have the Yontif of Purim. Why did Shaul HaMelech do this? Why was it important? Why was it so important for Shaul HaMelech? Why was it so important for him to make sure that we have the Yontif of Purim? Was it that Shaul HaMelech wanted to give the Jews some fun? He thought we don't have some Yom Tovim, enough Yom Tovim in the year? No, right? So the Ruzhina explained the following. We know in hindsight, we know that the Gemara tells us that when the Torah was given, let's take the simple pshat here, at some level, the Torah was received at Matan Torah more out of fear than out of love. Right? Because we know the famous Gemara, that when Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai, Kofa Aleim Har Kegigis, Hashem held the mountain over the Jewish people's head and said, you better accept the Torah, which fine, we need to understand what that means, all kinds of different Mephoshim, etc. Or in fact, let's learn it. I copied the Gemara. Right? Let's learn number four. It's a Gemara from a Shabbos. It says, Vayisyatzfu betachti sahar. The Jewish people stood at the foot, or the word tachtis can mean underneath the mountain. Amar Rav Dimi says, Barchama Barchasam Lama, this teaches us, Shekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem is Harki Gigis, that Hashem put the mountain upon them like a barrel. Omar Lehem, and he said to them, Atem Mekablim HaTorah Mutev, if you receive the Torah, that's good. V'im La, but if you don't, Shom Teik V'raschem, you'll be buried here. Again, there's all kinds of different, first what that means, we've explained different things. The bottom line is Hashem sort of got them into it. It was from Hashem. They didn't do it on their own love. They didn't accept the Torah from their perspective, willingly, out of love. They didn't do that. It was all from Hashem. Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, said the Gemara, says, Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Mikan Moidor Rabbeloi Raisa. From here, there's like an excuse for the Torah. In other words, he didn't always have an excuse. Why? Whenever there's a complaint against the Jewish people for not keeping the Torah, they can always say, well, we're kind of forced into this. Amar Rava says, okay, that's true. That excuse lasted till Purim. Afal Pike, nevertheless, famous idea, Hodar Kibluha Bimei Achashverosh. They re-accepted the Torah in the days of Achashverosh. In other words, the days of Achashverosh, they weren't forced. But nevertheless, when they discovered Hashem and they discovered the miracle, and Hashem wasn't even revealed at that time. And they, because they were so excited with the miracle that Hashem had performed them and saved them, and they saw the Yad Hashem, they saw the hand of Hashem, Hodar Kibluah, they re-accepted the Torah, as Mefarshim explained, this time they accepted Me'ahava, they accepted it from love, out of love, not out of fear. Therefore, said the Ruzhina, Shaul HaMelech kept Agag alive, so the story of Purim would play out. And therefore the story of Purim would play out in a way where there would be a threat, then there would be a salvation, he hoped, and then the Yidden would reconnect through the salvation, they would accept the Torah out of love, and there will be a game changer. Accepting the Torah out of love renews and resets the whole relationship that we have with Hashem. Right? And that's why Shaul HaMelech kept Agag alive. He meant well. It was L'shem Shemayim. He wanted there to be a Purim story because he wanted the Yidden to reconnect and recommit to the Torah and to Hashem, out of love, which would be an amazing reestablishment of the relationship between us and Hashem. That's what Yisrael Ruzhina explains. Now, that's why. Okay. Said the Chiddushei Arim, very nice pshat, but he asked the following question. He asked the Ruzhina a beautiful pshat. But then why was Shaul HaMelech punished? He did a good thing. That because of this, he lost the whole kingdom. So he answered him, the Ruzhina answered him, that his sin was, that it doesn't matter the good that could come out of something, you cannot and not allowed to put the Jews in danger. You can't do that. That's not something a Melech could do. A Melech cannot threaten the existence of the Jewish nation. By Shaul HaMelech, keeping Agag alive, eventually giving room for the rise of Haman, and Haman came with threat in the Jewish nation, that's putting the Jews in sakana, ain't allowed to do that. Even though he kind of knew what would happen at the end, that he hoped and had confidence in the Jewish people, they would do tshuva, be saved by Hashem, and be reconnected with Hashem out of love, which is an amazing relationship. But nevertheless, you cannot do that. A melech cannot put the Jewish people in sakon. Okay. Good. That's part one. Now, we learn like this. This is an important part. Let's go back to this concept that by Purim, the Jews reconnected to the Torah and they accepted the Torah on their own willingly out of love. What does that mean? So, the Mefarshim explain, many Mefarshim explain, that what it means is, what part of the Torah they accept. Many Mefarshim explain already in the Rishonim, that actually the Yidden already said Nasir v'Nishma, right? So what do you mean Hashem forced them? So we learn like this, that when the Torah was given, the Jews did accept the Torah, but they only accepted willingly the Torah Shebiksav, the written Torah. This that they re-accepted the Torah, this said they re-accepted the Torah around Purim time. That was specifically a reference to Torah Shebal Peh. They accepted willingly, submitted, they surrendered to the authority of the Torah Shebal Peh out of love, the oral Torah. Now, that's an important point to hang on to. That means that when we say that Shaul HaMelech kept Agag alive, so there should be the willing acceptance of the Torah, really what that is specifically a reference to the acceptance of the Torah Shebal Peh. Good. Now, we can understand, but we have to explore this and unpack it. Now we can understand, we're going to be able to explain why Shmuel HaNovi said to Shaul HaMelech, Hashem has taken away the kingdom, you did wrong at the end of the day, but Hashem is going to give the kingdom L'Re'acha HaToyva Mimcha. He's going to give the kingdom to your colleague that is better than you. Now, we asked the question, why would Shmuel HaNovi do that to Shaul HaMelech? Why would he make him so uncomfortable? Why would he torment him even more by saying he's going to give the kingdom to David HaMelech? But the answer is not. He wasn't trying to torment him. This is in context of what we just learned. Shmuel HaNovi heard what Shaul HaMelech said. He heard that Shaul HaMelech was a tzaddik. He heard that Shaul HaMelech wanted to keep Agag alive so there should be a Purim story. He wanted to keep Agag alive so the Yidden should willingly re-accept the Torah. And therefore what it means, as we said, they should re-accept the Torah Shabbat Peh. But Shaul HaMelech was wrong. And he made a mistake. And it was not the thing to do because he was putting the Yidden in danger. And therefore, creating a Haman and creating a threat to the Jewish people, where's the antidote to that? How are we so certain there's going to be a salvation? Says Shmuel HaNavi, I hear you. I hear that you meant well, but you're going to lose the kingdom. But I will give you the good news. The good news is that it's going to work, even though you did the wrong thing. And the good news is there's going to be a tikkun. There's going to be something that's going to correct what you did, and the outcome, in fact, will be good. You did the wrong thing by putting the Jews in danger, but there will be a good outcome. There'll be a tikkun, there'll be a correction to what you've done. How so? The correction will be the fact that the kingdom will go to David HaMelech. Now, how does David HaMelech come into the Purim story? Which goes back to the request that David HaMelech had to Hashem, that when you save the people through Mordechai, please remember me. And Hashem said, I will. And the obvious question is, what on earth is this all about? What's David HaMelech got to do with the Purim story? Mordechai wasn't even from Shevet Yehuda. Mordechai was Shevet Binyamin. What's David HaMelech got to do with it? And the question is, and the answer is like this. David HaMelech has everything to do with the Purim story, beautifully. I'm going to say it on a very simple level and then explore it even on a deeper level. Right? There's a famous story that goes like this. I haven't copied it, but let me explain the story. We know that David HaMelech had a very rough life and a very rough journey. And one of the things along the way, even after he became king, he had a lot of detractors, people who tried to unseat him, overthrow him, and so on and so forth. One of the most painful stories of David HaMelech was the war against his own son, Avshalom. Avshalom, his son, rebelled against his own father and tried to take him over. And at the end, there was a big war, and tragically, Avshalom was killed, which is something that David HaMelech did not want to happen. And he was very worn, and he grieved, didn't want to lose his own son. But yet, he had to fight some war, and he had to run away, a whole story. One of the things that happened when David HaMelech was on the way back, he's coming back to Jerusalem. People came out to greet him. One of the people that came out to greet him was Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was a big Talmud Chacham, but he didn't like David HaMelech. He was part of the Sanhedrin, he didn't like David HaMelech. He was from Shaul's camp, he was from the family of Shaul HaMelech. And he held that David HaMelech is not fit to be king, he's not fit to be a monarch, he's not fit to be whatever, the whole thing. So he came out, Shimi ben Gera came out to meet David HaMelech and threw a stone at him, towards him. Not only did he do that, but he cursed him and he spoke mamish terrible words against David HaMelech. One of David HaMelech's advisors wanted to kill Shimi ben Gera on the spot, and David HaMelech wouldn't let him. Why did one of his advisors want to kill Shimi ben Gera on the spot? Because there's a halacha. You have to pay attention because this is very, very important, a very important part of the story. There's a halacha that if someone curses a king, or someone goes against a king, or someone rebels against the king, which we call in the Gemara Moired B'Malchus, it's a capital punishment. Right? The laws of kings are very, very strict in halacha. The laws of kings also give the king tremendous power and tremendous authority, and no one's allowed to usurp that authority, and no one's allowed to go against the authority. And the halacha is, if someone goes against the king can put him, could not could, but even must, put him to death immediately. There's no trial, there's no nothing, the king has carte blanche, you can just have him executed. Murder Malchus, because you're not allowed to start up with the king. I mean, the king obviously has to keep the halacha. King can't just do it at his whim. The king has to do it if that's the halacha, if he believes that person really rebelled, right? That's the challenge, of course. The king has Hashem. It's not, a king is not a monarch that just does whatever he wants. A king is a monarch that does what Hashem wants. But nevertheless, that's what Hashem wants. That's the halacha. Yet, fascinatingly enough, Shimi ben Gera came out, cursed the king, cursed David HaMelech. Avishai, I think it was, who was one of David HaMelech's men, wanted to kill him, and David HaMelech says, no, you've got to keep him alive. All sorts of reasons. But one of the Midrashim explains that why did David HaMelech keep Shimi ben Gera alive? Who's Shimi? Don't forget. Let's go back to the very first pasuk of the we quoted here from the Megillas Esther, number one in the handout. Ish Yehudi hoyo b'shushan abiro. There was a Jew in Shushan Abiro. His name was Mordechai ben Yoir ben Shimi. Right? It says here ben Shimi ben Kish, but ben Kish was the grandfather, not of Shimi. Shimi's father was Gera. As I said, not everything's mentioned here. Not the whole ancestry is mentioned here. Mordechai, David HaMelech kept Shimi ben Gera alive so there should be a Mordechai. If David HaMelech would have killed Shimi on the spot, there would not be a Mordechai. Only because he kept Shimi alive, and Shimi had children after that. After that came Mordechai. David HaMelech kept Shimi alive, said there should be a Mordechai. In other words, we can already see at this point that David HaMelech has lots to do with the story. Lots to do with the story of Purim. Haman came about because of Shaul. Shaul HaMelech left Agag alive, so they had Haman. The antidote to Haman, which was Mordechai, came about because David HaMelech. David HaMelech kept Shimi alive. Because he kept Shimi alive, that's why he has everything to do with the Purim story. That's why he's mentioned. And that was the tikkun for Shaul HaMelech. But let's take that much further. That's just a simple level. Because the truth is, what do you mean? Why is that a tikkun for Shaul HaMelech? And what does it have to do with the whole plan of Shaul HaMelech? In other words, Mordechai was the one to fight against Haman, but to actually bring about what Shaul HaMelech originally wanted, which was that the Jews should recommit willingly to the Torah, which Torah? The Torah Shebaal Peh. How does David HaMelech come into that part? So we need to understand that a little bit. We need to go to the following idea, the following question. And the following question is as follows. We have to know, how come David HaMelech was allowed to keep Shimi alive? Right? In other words, Shaul HaMelech wasn't allowed to keep Agag alive, and he got punished for that. But the truth is, David HaMelech wasn't allowed to keep Shimi alive either, because there's a specific halacha that if someone is Moired B'Malchus, someone who goes against the glory, the honor of the king, he forfeits his life. And there's another halacha. The other halacha is Melech Shemochal Al Kvoidoi Ein Kvoidoi Mochal. A king, let me just put it in context. There's a halacha in the Gemara that a Talmud Chacham, who you have to give kavod to, who you have to respect and give honor to, but a Talmud Chacham has permission to give up on his kavod. He can say, no, it's my kavod, it's the Torah, I understand, you be mechamei, I don't want you to. I don't want you to stand up when I come in the room. I don't want you to give me the first aliyah. Whatever, he can say, I forgive you. A melech, on the other hand, a king, says the Gemara, melech shemochal al kvaydei, a melech that was moichel, he forgives his kavod. He's not allowed to. Right? So therefore, the question is, how come David HaMelech is allowed to? How come David HaMelech was allowed to give up on his kavod and keep Shimi alive? Okay, you can say they had Ruach HaKodesh and he knew that out of Shimi would come Mordechai, but you can't paskan halachas like that. You can't, because you see, and we find this many ways, we find this many sources. A rav, a king, anyone, even if he has Ruach HaKodesh, where do we find it? I'll give you an example. There's a thing called, there's a Gemara, the Gemara has an expression, Behadeh Kafsha Darachmona Lomeloch, which paraphrased means, don't mix into Hashem's plans, it's not your business. You have to do what's right. Where do we find this? We find it with Chizkiyo HaMelech. The great Chizkiyo HaMelech didn't get married. He was one of the kings of Yehuda. And then he got very sick. He wasn't interested in getting married. He wasn't interested in having children. And Yeshayo HaNovi came to visit him. And Yeshayo HaNovi said to him, the reason you got sick is because you did an Aveira. You didn't get married. You didn't even have attempt to have children. Said Chizkiyo HaMelech to Yeshayo HaNovi, I didn't have children because I have Ruach HaKodesh. And I see what's going to happen. I see if I get married and have a son, it's going to be Menashe HaMelech. Menashe HaMelech was a terrible person. He's going to serve Avodah Zarah. He's going to make tzaris. To the point where, according to one opinion in the Gemara, Menashe HaMelech has no portion in the world to come. He has no chelek olam haba. So I don't want to get married. I don't want to have a son like that. So what did Yeshayahu HaNavi say to him? Behad kafsh derachmon olam haba. It's not your business. You have to do what Hashem wants you to do. You have Ruach HaKodesh, it's very nice. You foresee the future. You have to do what Hashem wants you to do. He's got his plan. So he got married. He got married to Yeshayahu HaNavi's daughter, actually. And he had a son. And he was Menashe HaMelech. And he was a terrible person. And he didn't have a Olam Haba. And he served Avodah Zarah. So here the same thing. David HaMelech sees Ruach HaKodesh that he wants to keep Shimi alive because Shimi is going to give birth to Mordechai eventually, after a few generations. And it's very important that Mordechai should be around to take care of Haman. Question is, that's not your business. Don't mix it to Hashem's plans. You have a mitzvah. You have a halacha to keep. The halacha says you do not give up on your kavod. You're not allowed to forgive the kavod of a king. So you should push him in begera right away to death right away. He shouldn't be moichel. So the Shvile Pinchas says in the most amazing, amazing answer. Now I forgot to copy this pasuk, but he says that if we understand who David HaMelech was, and we understand what happened about Purim time, as we said before, we'll understand that actually in this case, keeping Shimi ben Gera alive was not going against the covet of David HaMelech. On the contrary, it was building the covet of David HaMelech. Let's see how. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. I don't know why I didn't copy it, but there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says the following, where David HaMelech says, "Sorim redofuni chinam." Right? Noble people, important people, pursued me for nothing, said David HaMelech. David HaMelech often in Tehillim retells the persecution that he had. And then said David HaMelech, "Umi dvarcha, from your word, pachad libi, I'm very afraid. Umidvarcha, from your word, pachad libi, I'm very afraid." Next pasuk, he says, "Sos anoichi al imrasecha," but I'm very, very joyful. I'm happy. I'm celebrating your words, imrasecha. K'moitzei sholol rov, like a person who found an amazing, amazing treasure. What does this mean? What is he talking about? So the Pnimim Yekarim explains the following. The Gemara says, when Shaul HaMelech got to become the son-in-law of Shaul HaMelech, when Shaul HaMelech got to know David HaMelech, and that was the whole story when David HaMelech killed Goliath, the giant Goliath, right? There was a whole shaila if David HaMelech is allowed to marry within the mainstream Jewish community. At that time, the Shidduch, at that time, Shaul HaMelech was really happy with David HaMelech that he saved the Jewish people and he killed Goliath, he killed Goliath. And he wanted to give David HaMelech his own daughter, Michal, Bas Shaul, who became David HaMelech's wife, actually. But it was a whole shaila if David HaMelech is allowed to. Why? Because David HaMelech came from Rus, and Rus was a Moabite. And many people, including someone from the Sanhedrin called Doeg, who are Doimi, said that David HaMelech is not allowed to marry within the mainstream community. But the Gemara says, that they proclaim that he is. Why? Because it goes back to the story of Rus. What happened with Rus? Why was she allowed to marry Boaz, who was a mainstream Jew from David HaMelech, from Yehuda, the great-grandfather of David HaMelech? Because they went through the whole thing of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? Torah Shebaal Peh. What does Torah Shebaal Peh mean? In the Torah it says, La Yavoi Amoini V'Amoi Ovi B'Kal Hashem. Someone who comes from Ammon Umoyav is not allowed to marry in the mainstream Jewish community. Came along Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, and said, no, we have to interpret it. That Moyavi v'loy Moyavis, when it says Moyavi, means a male Moabite. And a female Moabite may marry. So Rus was allowed to marry Boaz. That was fine. And then out of that came David HaMelech. By the way, and that was challenged, because some people say, well, that's ridiculous, because then it says in the Torah that a mamzer cannot marry in the mainstream Jewish community. How about a female mamzer, mamzeres, we know also can't marry. So you can't pick and change. And the Gemara says, no, that's the tradition. The Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition is, it doesn't apply to mamzer, it doesn't apply to other things, but it applies to moyav. That it says moyavi and not moyavis. Now, so eventually that was the savior of David HaMelech. But it was a big debate and a big thing. Let's go back a little bit to that pasuk I just mentioned to you, and I want to show you a beautiful, beautiful thing. David HaMelech says, noblemen pursued me for nothing. Then he says, Umidvorcha pochad libi, I'm very scared, said David HaMelech, of your words. Dvorcha, davar, like a word. But then he says, I was rejoicing and celebrated on your sayings, imrasecha. Notice, when it talks about it, David HaMelech is very afraid. He's very afraid of the dibur of Hashem, dibur. When he's very joyous and celebrating, he's celebrating the sayings, the amira, right? There's two ways Torah comes, dibur and amira. What's the difference? So dibur, we know, is concise language. Concise language, that's a reference to the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. Amira, is cryptic language, which is a reference to Torah Shebaal Peh. It's more sort of cryptic, and we have to interpret it, not so simple, right? That's the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the oral Torah, right? David HaMelech says, noblemen pursued me. They pursued me for nothing. They made tzoras. They questioned whether I'm allowed to marry into the mainstream Jewish community. And said, David HaMelech, I was very scared. They correct. Why? Because I was scared of your dibur. I was scared of what it says in the Chumash. Torah Shebichsav. The written Torah seems to suggest that maybe I'm not allowed to marry Michal Bashol. I'm not allowed to marry into the mainstream Jewish community. Then says David HaMelech, Sasa Noichi al Imrasecha. But I celebrated when I discovered Amira, your Imra Secha, your sayings. I discovered the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh saved the day. And Torah Shebaal Peh says, I'm allowed to marry into the Jewish community. Now, so what saved David HaMelech? The Torah Shebaal Peh. Not only did it save David HaMelech, but Al Pi Kabbalah, Kabbalistically, David HaMelech, everything about David HaMelech is connected to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Everything. Why? So very briefly, because David HaMelech is the idea of Malchus. We know that we have different Sefirot, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and so on. So David HaMelech is Malchus. We know the difference between the other emotions and Malchus. The other emotions give, Malchus receives. The other emotions are more masculine, Malchus is more feminine. We know the Torah Shebaal Peh is called Malchus, called feminine. Why? Because the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, receives and absorbs from the Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebichsav is the giver, Torah Shebaal Peh is the receiver. Right? That's the idea of Malchus. Malchus is that feminine concept of receiving and then giving, producing. Right? So David HaMelech is Kabbalistically connected, very intrinsically connected with Torah Shebaal Peh. Which explains, actually, the Farshim explain, that's why the whole reason that David HaMelech was able to marry and into the mainstream community, and the whole reason that David HaMelech was able to be David HaMelech, to become David HaMelech, to to be the king and to be the father of the dynasty, which ultimately will go until Mashiach. The whole reason that he was able to do that was because he was permitted to marry Michal Bashol, which only was revealed through Torah Sheva Peh. You know, Torah Sheva Peh made David HaMelech. That's why David HaMelech is Malchus, and David HaMelech is everything about Torah Sheva Peh. So David HaMelech and Torah Sheva Peh are synonymous. Oh, now we can understand an amazing thing. Now we can understand that when David HaMelech is confronted with Shimi ben Gera, Shimi ben Gera, who wants to curse David HaMelech, curses David HaMelech and throws a stone towards him, and he's moireid b'malchus, he's rebelling against the king, and al pi halacha, David HaMelech has to put him to death. Why al pi halacha has to put him to death? Because a melech is not allowed to give up on his honor, and David HaMelech chooses to keep him alive. Why? Because this time David HaMelech was allowed to use his Ruach HaKodesh for Halacha. Why? Because David HaMelech saw that what's going to happen is there's going to be a Purim. Because if I keep Shimi ben Gera alive, there'll be a Mordechai. Mordechai will be the antidote to Haman. Because he will be the savior. And because of that, what's going to happen will be the miracle of Purim. What's going to happen, the miracle of Purim? The Yidden are going to recommit, and this time they're going to willingly commit and receive and be subservient to and surrender to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Purim is all about the recommitment to Torah Shebaal Peh. Says David HaMelech, if I keep Shimi alive, who am I? I am Torah Shebaal Peh. Everything about me is Torah Shebaal Peh. I was allowed to become a king because of Torah Shebaal Peh. I was allowed to marry Michal Bashol with Torah Shebaal Peh. Al Pi Kabbalah, me and Malchus are one. I'm all about Torah Shebaal Peh. If I keep Shimi alive, there'll be a Mordechai. If there'll be a Mordechai, there'll be a Purim, because Haman's around. If there'll be a Purim, the Yidden will commit to Torah Shebaal Peh. My honor will get greater, not less. Not less. And that's why I kept Shimi alive. Now we understand the whole story. Shaul HaMelech wants to keep Agag alive because he wants it to be a Purim. But he was wrong because he's putting the Yidden all in danger. Come says Shmuel HaNovi, but there's good news. The good news is, I'm going to give the kingdom, Hashem's going to give the kingdom to someone who's better than you, i.e. David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech will ensure that what you wanted to do wrongly will come right. That what you want to do wrongly will come right, because David HaMelech is going to have a tremendous hand in the Purim story. He's going to keep Shimi alive. Why is he going to keep Shimi alive? To fix what you did. You wanted a Purim that will commit to Torah Shebaal Peh, but it was the wrong way to do it, because you're putting the Yidden in tremendous danger, risking it not happening altogether. David HaMelech will make sure it does happen, because he'll keep Shimi alive, and he'll make sure that through that there'll be a Purim, and the Yidden will commit themselves to Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why David HaMelech says to Hashem, Zochreini Hashem, please remember me in the time of Purim. And Hashem says, of course I'm going to remember you. I'm going to put you first. Ish Yehudi, I'm going to put you as Yehudi, the beginning of the Pasuk. Ish Yehudi ha'ya b'shushan habira. Because David HaMelech ultimately is the one that brings Purim to light. Yes, of course, Mordechai comes from Binyamin, is the Ish Yemini, he comes from Shaul HaMelech, the family of Shaul HaMelech, which began the journey of Purim. But the tikkun, the main story of David HaMelech, the main story of Purim, is David HaMelech's contribution to Purim to ensure that the Torah Shebaal Peh will be strengthened, to ensure that the Yidden will accept upon themselves the Torah Shebaal Peh, to ensure that the Yidden will bring honor to the Torah Shebaal Peh, bring honor to David HaMelech, and ultimately bring honor to the Torah and the relationship with Hashem. And that's why he features so much in the story of Purim, and he features in a way where he brought about what Shaul HaMelech did as a mistake. He brought about the goodness of it, and he brought about the tikkun for it, and that's why David HaMelech features so strongly in the concept of Purim. Which also means that Purim is, let's just finish off with this idea, that Purim therefore is a time, Taka, to recommit to Torah Shebaal Peh. And not just to recommit to Torah Shebaal Peh as Torah, but recommit to the whole idea of Yiddishkeit. That Torah Shebaal Peh represents this willing connection to Hashem. Matan Torah, when Hashem gave the Torah Shavuos, that was Hashem sort of giving us a gift from above. Purim is about us discovering Hashem. That's why Purim, he doesn't bring this, but that's why Purim really is That's why Purim is a day that doesn't have a special kedusha to it. It's not a yontif, it's not a special day. And that's its greatness. Greatness is that on a regular Thursday, we can discover Hashem. On a regular Thursday, eating hamantash and eating food, we can connect Hashem. We can find God everywhere, and that's what Purim is all about, to reestablish that connection with Hashem in such a deep way where it comes all from us, from the depths of our neshama, that every single part of our life, even the parts that Hashem is not obvious, we submit to Hashem and we find Hashem and we discover Hashem and we strengthen our connection between us and Hashem. Wishing everyone a really Purim Sameach and only good things. Welcome, all the best for Purim Sameach. Amen.